basic outline of our story so far, and a little bit more introductory points about the Gzeira L'Gzeira, which is then going to take us into the meat, no pun intended, of our Gemara. So, essentially, we have, just to kind of recap the story from day one, we talked about the prohibition of Basu B'Chalav, which is a three-pronged prohibition, and we talked both about the question of how the prohibitions relate to each other, the idea of Bishul and Achila specifically. We haven't gotten into Achila and Hana, which also is something we need to talk about. So maybe we'll find some time over the next few days to pay a little bit of attention to that. But we've only focused on Bishul and Hana. And we talked about the two possible directions you can go in. That Bishul is the issue. And once Bishul is done, that's bad. And therefore, we have to stigmatize the eating. So eating becomes prohibited. Parallel to what we really find at the beginning of the Masechta, that the issue of Shechita is that Shechita is a process that has to be done properly, and eating non-shechted food presumably is just because we don't want to be okay with not shechting the food properly in the first place. So maybe so too, eating Basar B'Chalav is because we don't want to be okay with the fact that it was cooked in the first place. That's one direction it could go in. But it could also go in the opposite direction. That, and there's a possibility that that is indeed the case, that really it's all about Achilas Basu B'Chalav, and that it is Bishul that is to prevent Achila. So that is a fascinating idea, which prompted the question of, could there be a Gezeira Min HaTorah, and is this indeed one of them? Is it possible that sometimes Dinim in the Torah itself function as a gezeira? So this whole notion of a gezeira and what's really inherent and what's there as a safeguard is completely embedded within our discussions, completely embedded within our sugya, within the topic itself, and within the discussions we've been having to support our sugya. So we're trying to understand the relationship of Dinim D'Oraisa to Dinim D'Rabbanan and what it means to be a gezeira, what it means to be a support for something else. So all of these concepts keep popping up and intertwining within each other. So we talked about a couple of ramifications of whether Bishul could indeed be just something that's meant to save us from Achila, and how that might make a difference. Some pretty interesting examples, like what if you have a chemical test that could ascertain whether something is Bishul, whether something is Basu B'Chalav, but that itself is an act of Bishul. What if you have candles that are made of Basu B'Chalav, could you light them? What if you're cooking for a non-Jew and he won't let you taste the food? So should that be permissible? The shear for Bishul being a kezias, which is focused on Achila. And all of that, all connected to the whole question of seeing Bishul as something which is there because we're concerned about Achila. And with that, we then got into the question of understanding Gzeira L'Gzeira, which, besides is important for this concept, is going to play a role in our immediate sugya. And we also discussed how all of this could tie into the Tamei HaMitzvos, because maybe it's important to understand what the nature of the mitzvah is. Is it Stam HaChok that we have no access to? Or is it very much just about not imitating a certain idolatrous practice on the other end of the spectrum? Or is it somewhere in between? Is there some kind of achzarius involved in eating an animal and also eating it in its mother's milk? Is that just too much? Or is it some kind of gluttony? Or is it about the mixture of the two things? Is there some kind of kiloyim type of thing? So that may all go to, do we put the focus on the eating or do we put the focus on the preparing? What really is the issue about? So far, so good. Everybody on top of everything. So then we got to talking about the whole concept of a gezeira l'gezeira a little bit abstractly. And we raised the question what exactly is the issue with a gezeirah legezeirah? And is it something that is premised specifically on the assumption that it's sinister derabbanan that we're talking about? Or could it be that it might apply to an iser d'araisa as well? And that tells us a couple of things. It tells us how to relate to all the concepts, and it also will tell us, practically speaking, whether these concepts apply to bishul basa b'chalav. Just to say things out of order for a second, just so that we can keep a flow. So if you say it applies to dinim d'araisa, so then if you want to say that bishul basa b'chalav is an iser d'araisa, and yet the concept of gzeira l'gzeira applies to it, so the Prima Gadim had a very surprising chiddush that gzeira l'gzeira applies to dinim d'araisa, and therefore a chatzi shir, the idea of having even less than the amount that's punishable, that he understood to be a gzeira, and he said wouldn't apply to even a Torah gzeira. So if you do the math, you would think that bishul basa b'chalav shouldn't apply to less than a shir. And we had a little bit of a discussion if that's indeed true or not. We saw that was a machlokes, and that there were other reasons that that could be debatable, such as maybe chatzi shir should only apply to achila for various reasons. And that it was interesting that the Prima Gadim, who made that whole chiddush, didn't bring that into the discussion. The Prima Gadim is one of those who considered the question of chatzi shir by bishul basa b'chalav, yet he didn't bring in the idea of it being a siag as determining that issue. And he also considered it both from qualitative and quantitative perspective. So what if you cook less than a kezias? Or what if you cook enough, but you don't cook it to a sufficient degree? So you cook it less than a Michael ben Josai, less than one half or one third cooked, depending on how you define that. So those were among the implications of how to understand this whole concept. And now we're going to see, getting into our next sugya, which talks about a gezeirah that's mentioned in the Mishnah, of not having meat and milk on the same plate, which would seem to be a gezeirah. The Gemara that we'll see together imminently is going to raise the issue specifically in our text of gezeirah legezeirah. So in order to do that, we're going to say a few more words now, both recapping and adding a little bit more in further introduction of the idea of gezeirah legezeirah. Okay, so far so good. So was that enough of an outline? Is everything... make sense? Everything fit? Okay. So, as part of the introduction, it's also worth noting that could do a little bit out of order, this Tosfos over here. So, Tosfos Umana Timra. So, it's quoting a Gemara that we'll look at together in a second. But, you know, why don't we just read the Gemara together for a second anyway, and then we'll do the rest of it as we go. So the Mishnah says that we're not permitted to have meat together with cheese on the table. So if we read the first lines of the Mishnah, it says kala basar, asar levashel b'chalav, chutzi basar dagam b'chagav. Right, so we know now from the previous Gemara that the way to read that is that there are three categories actually being described there. So, dagim v'chagavim, so grasshoppers and fish, are completely permitted. That's excluded totally from the story. Although, practically speaking, fish is actually, there's a little bit more to talk about. And we saw in the first semester that there's sakana issues with fish, and there's what to talk about. But, setting that aside for now, the Mishnah is basically telling us that fish and grasshoppers are out of the story totally. But kalabasar asr, all the meat that is prohibited to cook with milk. So there we saw that refers to two categories. In one breath, it's talking about that which is asr min haTorah and asr midrabanan. And that's the last line right before the two dots, that or right before the last two dots, that mehen midivrei Torah and mehen midivrei Sofer. So some of this is min haTorah, and some of this is midrabbanan. And that's, we spent some time talking about also, just to fill this into the outline, that one would think then to read that chicken should be prohibited to cook also, that's the logical read then in the Mishnah, kol habasar, derais and drabanan, also the vashel is prohibited to cook both chicken and meat, but we find that the Rambam and then the Shulchan Aruch both write that it's permissible to cook chicken and milk, it's only prohibited to eat chicken and milk. And we talked about some suggestions why that is, including that also maybe is a gzera issue. And in that case, the gzera drabanan on top of maybe a gzera deraisa. So we have three categories of the Mishnah. So, understanding that the Mishnah is referring to basar of also, so the Gemara picks up from the next words, v'aso lahalosim agvina la shulchan. So says the Gemara over here, Amar of Yosef, Shmamina, that basar of b'chalav must be daraisa. So it must be that chicken and milk must be an asur daraisa. Di salke daitach drabanan, because if you're going to tell me that it's only drabanan, sa achila gufa gezerah. So then, if it's drabanan, then the eating of itself is only a gezerah. Banan nigzra ha'ala atu achila, and we're going to make another gezerah that's going to be on top of this. We're going to prohibit putting it on the plate so that we shouldn't come to eat it, which is that, so we shouldn't come to eat meat and milk. That's two gezerahs. O mana timra delo gazrina gezerah legezerah, and how do we know that we don't make a gezerah legezerah? And the Gemara continues, we'll come back to that. So the Gemara is assuming here that we need a source for this notion of a gezer legezer. So here Tosfos picks up from that. It says, "But not timra de lo gazrina gezer legezer." So the Kama Kalmas Amar Higufa gezer the Ananikom v'Nigur gezer legezer. A lot of places where the Gemara takes it as a given that there's no gezeres on top of the gezeres. B'Parakama de Shabbos, or B'Parakama Madlikin. Uverish Beitza says in a bunch of places. Vahacha bo'ina la'siraya, and now all of a sudden that we need to bring a proof. Leinyan gzera da'ala to achila, and now we need to bring a proof in this particular case about having a gzera of putting on the plate, coming to eat something else. So that's one question. And how come here we need a proof and elsewhere we don't need a proof? The yesh makom was nami de gazrin in gzera le'gzera le'chashina. And also, besides that, there are places where we do have gezeros on top of gezeros, and we don't seem to worry about it. So then, Tosfos goes on to say, "Ein lidmos gezeros chachamim zu lazu, ela b'makomos shehashas medame." So we cannot compare gezeros to each other, except for the places that the Talmud does. So here, without getting into in detail, I can give you a few makaris if you have some extra time to look at about this hanacha. You know, this sounds like it's a pretty simple, innocent thing to say, although there is some dispute about this idea of do we compare gezeros to each other. Right? It doesn't sound like it's a super controversial statement to make, but the truth is, it is actually significant. Because we need to know as a matter of practice, we need to know as a matter of applying halacha. So do we have the right to say, okay, we find the gezerah here and we find the gezerah there. So what are the rules? Can we transfer rules from one to the next? So this statement is actually not an uncontroversial statement. There is some debate about this. And maybe if you think you'll have a little bit more time tomorrow, maybe I'll give you a few more sources to look at about this point in Tosfos. But the point is, why would you say we don't compare gezeros to each other? So presumably the assumption is that there's an art to Gozer, to Gezeritude, that Chazal have to take action based on how they assess the threat level in each case. And therefore, just because they took a certain step in one case doesn't mean that it's necessarily to the same degree in another case. And because there's a certain emphasis here, it doesn't mean that the emphasis is going to be the same somewhere else. All right?
How does that answer Tosa's first question about why are we asking here?
So it seems like that there's a couple of different perspectives. That first of all, the whole assumption of a Negozer and Gezeira L'Gezeira is not across the board. And then maybe even when you say it, there's going to be a couple of levels to it. That sometimes you don't say it. Sometimes we are going to build a Gezeira on top of the other. And sometimes we for sure won't. And sometimes we'll need a little bit of explanation whether we should or whether we shouldn't. So, for example, it's just interesting. So I mentioned that Rashi in Beit Sandav Gimel, you saw that. That was in the source a couple of days ago. Right? Rashi in Beit Sandav Gimel. So it does give a source. Right? Rashi points to the pasuk in Achrimos of Ushmartim es Mishmarti. So some of the Achronim ask, how come Rashi says it davka there and not anywhere else? If the Gemara has this expression in a few places, how come all of a sudden Rashi decides in Maseches Beitza to explain why it is that it goes from Gezeira to Gezeira, and you can find explanations why he says it there and not in other places? It's interesting here because Tosus quotes that Gemara in Beit Sadaf Gimel, and Tosus says nowhere else do we ever care why it is. But Rashi commenting in that Gemara assumes we do care why it is. You see, there's a lot of different perspectives coming depending on where you're coming from. But that's a part of the issue. It could be that every case requires its own explanation as to is this a Gezeira L'Gezeira kind of case or do we have an across-the-board kind of policy? So what we'll see is that there are a couple of contentious points within this Tosus, that maybe we do need to have one kind of standard, and that Gezeiros are comparable to each other despite this. And therefore also, maybe there are no cases of Gezeira L'Gezeira. So what about the statement that sometimes we do have it? And you can find a number of Rishonim and a number of Tosfos and for sure saying things like that, that sometimes we do have it. So what about that? So what we'll see, and we'll see more tomorrow, and that's why our sugya is going to be very, the ins and outs of the sugya are going to be very important for that. That a lot of the examples are going to be disputed. That you don't necessarily have explicit Gemaras that are cases of Gezeira L'Gezeira. What you have is things that look like it, and sometimes there's an explanation. So some Rishonim will accept that explanation, and other Rishonim will say, no, okay, here's an exception. Here's the case where we make Gezeira L'Gezeira. So what's an example of an explanation? Maybe we have exceptions. Maybe Ein Gozer L'Gezeira is an absolute rule, just there are things that don't fall into that rule. So what might not fall into that rule? Well, the biggest exception that we'll see, and you'll see it for sure in the Rishonim, talking on this sugya, right? What's one way to kind of define yourself out of this problem? Right, the most common way to define yourself out of the Gezeira L'Gezeira problem is to say, Chada Gezeira. Meaning to say that, no, this is not one Gezeira on top of the other, that it's all one Gezeira. So you have one big Gezeira, so then apparently that's not even under the parameters of a double Gezeira. Now, Rishonim seem to have different understandings of what that means. What does it mean to have one Gezerah? So we started to discuss this last time. The way Rashi understands, sounds like it means that they make one, at the time they make the Gezerah, they make one broad Gezerah that includes a whole category. And not everything in that category is necessarily dangerous. But they make it across the board for that category. So, and that's in essence, like Mary pointed out last time, a little plug. That once they make the Gezerah, they don't distinguish within the items in that category. So it'll look like a double Gezerah, because you'll have it'll look like there are things in the category that are prohibited because of the other things in the category which are prohibited because of the Issa. But really, it's all one Gezerah, that all of the category is prohibited because of the Issa. So some Rishonim see it like that's all done at the initial time across the board. Or some understand it to mean that the nature of the Gezerah is that it's too untenable by itself, and that there had to be another part of the Gezerah in order for the Gezerah to be able to stand. And that's why it's essentially one Gezerah, because it's not functional without another half. So that's something that we will see, and that will come out in this Gemara, among the Rishonim. You'll see that there are different interpretations as to what's going here within the sugya, whether we're talking about one Gezerah or not. Another issue is the question of what can be defined as what. Now, we often use the term siag and Gezerah interchangeably. But just to confuse you, there might be a difference. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim does seem to use the language a little more precisely and differentiate between a siag and a gezerah. Again, really just to confuse you, because in a lot of the literature we do kind of use them interchangeably. So there is a comment by Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. I think we mentioned him yesterday in a different context. Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer and his sefer Evan Hazel. So he explains what the difference is between a siag and a gezerah for these purposes. He says a siag is when you're in one situation and we're afraid within that situation you could go too far. And you could slip up and do the avera at that moment. And he bases that on the language of the Gemara, for the Daf Yominik. So this was Brachos Daf Dalet, so already now a couple weeks past that. But the Gemara uses that language of Siag, talking about Kriya Shema, and about saying that a person shouldn't come home at night and say, okay, I'll take a little bit of a nap, have a snack, watch the Super Bowl, and, you know, whatever, and then I'll say Kriya Shema later. Then that's a bad idea, so we make a siag. He says that's all within one thing. We're all afraid that that's going to come at that moment leading to Kriya Shema being forgot. But a gezerah is where, in this situation, you don't really have a possibility of an avera. But because we're allowing this, in a different situation that looks like this, you could end up doing an avera. So says Rav Issa Zalman, so that's what we mean, a gezerah, the gezerah, we don't say, don't do this, which looks like that. So he doesn't actually use this comparison, but here, so you see, chicken and milk is different than meat and milk. If you don't have meat and milk in front of you, so then we're talking about a gezerah, that, oh, you remembered you had chicken and milk, so next time you're going to have meat and milk. But when you're dealing with the actual meat and milk and we're afraid you're going to come too close, so then that's a siag. So that's an interesting distinction that he makes. He says, so ain goes ring gezerah le gezerah, that's when dealing with the gezerah kinds of things. but within the situation where the Aveira is in front of you, so then we don't necessarily have that kind of limit. Okay, so far so good? Okay, there's another distinction which is very interesting, and just to spend a few minutes on. So, we talk about Isurim Derabanan. So, part of what we saw on our Sundays, the past two Sundays, talking about the nature of Isurim Derabanan. So, what could emerge is that we really have a few types of Isurim Derabanan, and the concept of a Gzera L'Gzera could come up in a few ways. Or a Derabanan could come up in a few ways. So, and we wouldn't necessarily always apply Gzera L'Gzera logic to it. So really, the clearest type of a Gzera L'Gzera that you shouldn't do is to make a fence and then make another fence on top of it. Say, okay, here's an Issur D'Oraisa. Don't do X, which might lead to that Issur D'Oraisa. That's a Gzera. And don't do Y, which may lead to X.
Isn't that Kol Mosif Gareya?
That may be from the same kind of logic, right? That Kol Mosif Gareya is related to a Gzera L'Gzera. It's inappropriate. Maybe they come from the same place. That, you know, Kol Mosif Gareya is not an Issur per se, it's a general criticism. And that maybe it's a criticism of somebody who would do something similar to Gzera L'Gzera. While you could have the language you sometimes find in literature of two drabanans, which means that maybe they just have two separate Yisurim drabanan, each one by itself is directly connected to an Issur D'Oraisa, and they happen to intersect with each other. So then each one should still apply, even though you're dealing with two Yisurim Derabanan. And you wouldn't necessarily say in that case, Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera, even though you're dealing with two Yisurim Derabanan. But also, there are different kinds of Yisurim Derabanan. So, what we were discussing in the past two Sundays, now we said that why do Chazal prohibit things? And what's the source? Right. So we discussed the Losasar as a source, and we also discussed how the Ramban doesn't like that source, and maybe couldn't work with any Pasuk as a source. And we mentioned Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's approach that they read between the lines of the Torah. And they're able to tell you what is also the will of the Torah, even if it's not spelled out. So if you think about it, that gives you really two different types of Yisurim Derabanan. There are some things that are usur as a gzera, that you shouldn't do this because that could lead to that. So the rabbis prohibited this because it could cause a problem. And that really includes both of what Rabbi Zalman described, the siyag and the gzera, things that could, they're not by themselves issues, but they could lead to issues. And then, looking between the lines, you could also understand differently that sometimes the Torah describes certain things as bad. And you could get off on a technicality. Certain activities don't fall into those parameters on a technicality. But they are similar enough that we can understand that they're also against what the Torah is describing. And therefore, the rabbis prohibited that also, because it goes against the spirit of what the Torah is prohibiting. So that's not a gzera. That is something which the rabbis picked up on the gist of what the Torah was saying. And they said, just like the Torah says not to do this, we understand you also shouldn't do that which is similar to this. Follow? So that has some inherent bad quality to it, really. Even if the Torah didn't specifically prohibit it. But it's not as a gezerah per se. So this you find most clearly, perhaps, in the area of Melech HaShabbos, in the area of Shabbos, per se. When it comes to Shabbos, we have prohibitions mina Torah, and we have prohibitions midrabanan. Two categories. But the truth is we can break it up into three categories. And the drabonins could be divided up into two. And Rav Shechter has a whole important essay about this in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi. That there are malachos daraisa, lamatas malachos that the Torah prohibits. There are gizeros drabonin. There are actions that the Torah prohibits so that we shouldn't come to do, I'm sorry, the actions of the rabbis prohibits, rather, so that we shouldn't come to violate the malachos on Shabbos. Right, we shouldn't learn by a candle so that we shouldn't come to tilt the candle and do havara. Things like that. But then there are malachos drabanan. Now, what are malachos drabanan? Malachos drabanan are things that are similar in their nature to a malacha. But for whatever reason, they don't fall within the technical parameters of the Torah prohibitions of malacha. So the rabbis prohibited them also because they violate the essence of Shabbos. But they're not asur as gezeros. They're asur as malachos drabanan. And presumably they have different rules. And in this essay, Rav Shechter goes through the different rules that they have. So the logic of gezera le gezera really should only apply to gezeros drabanan, not to malachos drabanan. In other words, not necessarily only to things that, not to all things that are drabanan. Some things that may be drabanan wouldn't necessarily have the logic of excluding a compound isser. The compound isser logic applies to gezera le gezera, but doesn't necessarily apply any time you have a drabanan. Does that make sense? Jordan, you look a little unsure.
Lost, yeah.
So it could be that if you have an isser, which is not a gezera, but it's something which is itself a drabanan, but it's a drabanan because it's in essence like a malacha. So the rabbi is prohibited because it's too similar to a malacha. Not because you may come to do a malacha, but because itself is not Shabbistic. Itself, it's a type of malacha. It just doesn't fall within the parameters. Let's say...
So it's more like a gezera.
So it's not like a gezera, meaning that it's not because we're afraid you're going to do this. Right? We say, don't sit by a candle because you might come to tilt a candle, and that will lead you to do havara. Or don't put food on the oven. You may come to, it looks like you're cooking, you know, because that may come to have you cooking. But something which is, in essence, like the malacha, so the rabbis prohibited it because it's a type of violating Shabbos on a level midrabanan. It is, in essence, a malacha. So let's say a malacha shingetzricha legufa, for example, right? So you have a malacha which is not done for the same purpose it was done in the Mishkan. So we say that's an Issa Drabana, according to most Rishon. But many understand that it's a more severe prohibition, midrabbanan. Why is it a more severe prohibition? Maybe because of this point. Because, in essence, it really is a malacha. It just gets off on a technicality. It's not that we're afraid that if you do a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, you'll come to do a malacha. It's that the malacha shein tzrich l'gufa itself is inconsistent with Shabbos on a level of midrabbanan. So there, the logic of gzeira l'gzeira doesn't really follow. So the idea that you can't combine, or you shouldn't combine, doesn't necessarily carry over to that. And this essentially is spelled out in the tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a tshuva, Simen Chaf Ches, where he talks about carrying a child, discussing earlier sources. So let's say carrying a baby, carrying a child to keep things, to avoid certain complications, like carrying a little child in a carmelis. You have an area where it's not a reshus harabim d'oreza. So carrying in this area is only prohibited midrabanan. So if you have a little child, so we normally say that min haTorah, the rule is chai nosei es atzmo, that a living being is considered carrying itself. There isn't the prohibition to carry a little child who could, at least let's say a child who could walk on their own. So should you be permitted maybe to carry a child in a carmelis? Because it's only a problem to carry me the Rabbanan. And the carmelis is the Rabbanan. So it's gzera l'gzera. Right? You hear the point? But Jordan's like, no, maybe not. Yeah. No, so why not?
Like two separate areas of halacha.
Ah, okay. Two separate areas of halacha. Okay, so that's an interesting point. So you're saying it's like the previous issue, that it's not one on top of the other.
Right.
So for that reason, maybe you wouldn't say gzera l'gzera. That point is well taken, right? So maybe it's two drabbanan instead of gzera l'gzera. That point is well taken. But what Rabbi Akiva Eiger also says, which maybe gives you a different reason to come to the same conclusion, although your point is well taken, is that the idea that there's a mitzvah drabbanan to carry even a living person, so it's not a gzera. It's not that, oh, we're worried you'll come to carry something else. That's not what the issue is. It's not that we say, oh, don't carry this person because we're worried you'll carry a notebook. It's because it is carried. It's because his language is, it's sas masa. It's like on some level it's carried. It's a drabbanan kind of carrying. So he says the concept of gzera l'gzera doesn't apply here. He says, essentially, that's explains it, that just because you're dealing with Rabbanan, the concept of the Gzera doesn't always carry over, no pun intended, right? Yes, you have that question?
Is it possible it's about the distinction between the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law?
As far as the Dreis of Rabbanan, it's very much possible. I think that that's very much the case, that the Chazal, that when you have something that Chazal perceive was not included in the letter of the Torah law, but that the spirit of the law does affect it, so then, indeed, I think they made Dinim Rabbanan to reflect that. So sometimes a gezeira doesn't necessarily have the spirit of the law at all.
Right, to protect the letter of the law.
Right, it's trying to protect the letter of the law. So that's why the idea that we've seen before, that the Rabbanan b'shogeg doesn't need kapara, is really about gezeiras, probably. Because there is no letter of the law, because as long as you avoid the letter of the law, there is no spirit of the law, right? Because it's all exera. Exera has no spirit. No offense.
Maybe just support that. The rebuttal hold that by Kol Davar Shem Yishev Shvus, God's Rola B'Yash Marshus.
Oh, okay.
So it seems to be supportive of this.
Yes, so let's get to that for a second, actually. Although that's a complex point, so the last point they made, if you didn't go tomorrow about Benish Mushels, the Benish Mushels has an extra level of complexity that may too much for us today. I'll give you a place to look about that. And we'll get right at the edge of that, to the Beit HaShemesh, so that, and then we can. But this Rabbi Akiva Eiger is a very clear example of that. It says that carrying a child is not a gzera. The language is a sas masa. It's basically like carrying. So the logic of gzera le gzera does not fit here. So here, another possible example, and this is subject to debate, is amira la'akum. Right, we have a prohibition to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for us on Shabbos. That's a prohibition midrabbanan. That's something we discussed at length last semester, that min haTorah is permitted, and midrabbanan, it is prohibited. So why is it prohibited? Would you call it a gezeira or a malacha midrabbanan? Okay, who says Malacha D'Rabbanan? Who says Gzera? Alright, this is a setup because you're both right, theoretically. The point is it could be either. Right? There's different perspectives and Rishonim as to what the issue is. So it could be either. Some understand that the issue of Amir La'akum is that once you're asking this non-Jew to do Malacha for you, you could come to do it yourself once you're in the parasha of having it done. So that would be a gzera. While others understand that even though, strictly speaking, by Torah law, the strict rules of shlichus that normally say if I ask somebody to do something for me, they have my status. So strictly speaking, that doesn't apply here for a number of reasons. If I ask a non-Jew to do malacha for me, the rules of shlichus, for a number of reasons, shouldn't really kick in. Whether you say shlichus advar avera or shlichus... Sorry?
If it's direi rav, direi talmud, direi mishomen, direi
talmud avera. So the lumdus of shlichus advar avera is one issue. The question of whether shlichus la'akum is a couple of complications. But it could be that at least on the level of midrabanan, they say there is shlichus. That even if in the Torah shlichus is complicated, but midrabanan there is shlichus. So the concept of this individual acting on my behalf and therefore representing me, maybe at least on a rabbinic level, is happening. So if that's the logic, so then how should we view it? Is it a gezeira? No, right? That basically it's not that we're afraid that something's going to happen. Is that it is happening, that when I ask a non-Jew to write for me on Shabbos, it means it's like I'm writing. It means on some level, on a Rabban level, not on a Torah level, but on the Rabban level, it's basically like I'm writing on Shabbos. So that's not a gezeira. So, if that's the way we understand it. So, essentially, that could explain that if you ever get involved in Amir al-Akum issues, so sometimes you'll hear the discussion. So we talk about, we don't use the word gzera, but the standard we sometimes, it's a machlokas under what circumstances, big machlokas we've shown, under what circumstances do we permit Amir al-Akum? If we're dealing with an Issur D'oraisa that they're committing, or you're dealing with an Issur D'rabbanan, if it's for the purposes of a mitzvah, if it's for the purposes of the tzibur, etc., etc. So normally, the standard that we talk about in practical halacha, one of the standards that we talk about, is we talk about a shvus, here the language of shvus, a more general term, for an Issur D'Rabbanan, rather than the Gezeru, which we're seeing now has more specific meaning. So we talk about a Shvus, the Shvus, the Makom Mitzvah. So essentially, if we have all those parts of our equation, if we can find all those ingredients, okay, so we'll be Makel because we have the Shvus of Amir al-Akum on top of whatever they're doing is itself a Shvus, itself some Issur D'Rabbanan. And it's not just down, but it's for the purposes of a mitzvah, so a makom mitzvah, so we allow it. So you could ask, okay, so what's the difference? So here we're saying gezeira le gezeira, we just allow straight out. We don't even prohibit it in the first place. But a shvus to shvus, we require, on top of that, it should also have a mitzvah justification. So what's the distinction based on? So what we're seeing here is that the distinction is that a gezeira le gezeira is essentially unnecessary. It's called a mosif gereya territory. So once you have a gezeira on top of a gezeira, we just don't do that in the first place. So it's mutter. But a shvus to shvus, you're not necessarily dealing with gezeiras. You might be dealing with things that are inherently bad. They're just bad on a lower level. They're bad on a drabbanan level. And the leniency is not because they are conceptually different. It's because of the general leniency that we have towards dinim drabban. So if we're going to be makel here, it's not because it's unnecessary, like gezeira l'gezeira, but it's because we're essentially racking up points, or racking up reductions. That we have a special leniency because of one drabbanan, and then another leniency because you're dealing with another drabbanan on top of it, and then another leniency because you get a special voucher because you're dealing with a mitzvah. So you put those three things together, you have enough leniencies to get into get your pass. So it's a whole different kind of logic. So presumably that's how one can relate to it. So this kind of highlights the other part of the equation that we're seeing, that gezeira le gezeira does not necessarily have to equal drabbanan le drabbanan. So we've seen that now in two directions, that not every drabbanan will make use of gezeira le gezeira logic, and not every daraisa is excluded necessarily from gezeira le gezeira logic. So it could be that even dealing with daraisas, well, this was a much more radical idea, but maybe even when dealing with daraisas, you could have gezeira le gezeira logic applying, maybe bishul basar b'chol, chatzi shir, or the like. And even when dealing with rabbanans, gezeira le gezeira does not necessarily always apply, depending on any number of exceptions. So we'll just recap what we said, and this will get us right to the door of tomorrow. We'll pick up from the Gemara itself, and we'll see how the various positions of the Rishonim that you started to see today, how they play out in some of the practicalities of this discussion. So essentially, so what did we see today? So we saw a couple of extra points on when gezeira l'gezeira applies and when it doesn't apply, that essentially it seems to be about drabbanans, but it's not 100%. And we saw that there are a number of possible exceptions. We saw that Tosfos says, well, sometimes the Gemara asks for a source, sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it says Nein Gozer, and sometimes we do make such double gezeiras, so it must be you can't compare gezeiras to each other. And we said that sounds pretty uncontroversial, but actually there is some dispute about it, and there is some dispute about the question of whether you make gezeiras the gezeiras or not. It could be that they're just outside the parameters rather than exceptions. So what are the parameters? So first of all, whether it's a case of Chad Gezeira, and we saw that there are different interpretations of Rishonim of what's called Chad Gezeira. Is it a question maybe with a little plug situation or things that are independent in each other? And also a question of whether we're talking about really two drabbanans, just things that happen to intersect, even if they're both drabbanan, but they're not one on top of each other. We saw the Eben HaEzel where he said there's a difference between a siag and a gzera based on the language of the Rambam. And he said gzera is when you have a situation here, we're afraid that a different situation may get confused with this. That's where you say a gozer and gzera le gzera. But a siag is where the situation right in front of you, there's a potential problem. Then we may have any level, any number of harchakas in order to keep you away from that actual problem. It's interesting, parenthetically, by the way, according to that definition, you see the Torah Tamima in his comment on the Eitz Hadas is not working off that definition, because that would have been a siag situation in terms of the Eitz Hadas, because you know, that's dealing right there with the Eitz Hadas. But in any event, then we discuss also that we use specifically the example of Hilchos Shabbos, where it's clear, but this is true, B'chol Torah Kula, that there are different Yisurim Drabanan. Some Yisurim Drabanan are about Gzeros, but some are about there being something inherently bad, just on a rabbinic level, because the rabbis perceived this action to be too similar to what the Torah prohibited, just not technically within its parameters. And if that's the case, the Gzera logic doesn't necessarily carry over. So we saw, for example, Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes in the Tshuva that it doesn't make sense to say that you should be allowed to carry a child within a carmelist because there's gzera, because the carrying a child is not gzera, but rather his language is ksas masa. Essentially, it is carrying just on a rabbanan level. And that's different. And also, we gave this example with the Amir La'akum, is that a gzera or a malacha d'rabbanan? And it depends how you understand it. If it's like the concern that you're going to come do the malacha yourself, it's a gzera. But if it's about the idea that it's a shlichus la'akum, so then it is more of a malacha d'rabbanan, and would therefore be treated a little bit more chomer. And then the idea that we look for a shlus to shlus, makom mitzvah, when talking about those shilas, why do we need the makom mitzvah when we say gzera, l'gzera, l'gzera, and we don't need a makom mitzvah? Because the logic is different than when you're dealing with the gzera, we're saying that an extra gzera is simply unnecessary. When you're dealing with shvus to shvus, you're dealing with things that may have inherently problematic issues, so therefore it's not unnecessary, it's just that there's a reduced severity. So coming from that kind of approach, we're trying to pile up reductions in severity and until we can feel comfortable. So if we have a shvus on top of a shvus, and then also a makom mitzvah, that all contributes to this greater comfort level, and that's what we're talking about. Okay, so with that again, we'll finish off the list from today, tomorrow, and we'll give you a little bit more to look at about this Tosfos, and we will take it from there. All right, wish everyone a wonderful day. Thank you for accommodating the change of schedule. Refuah shleimah to those struggling with their virus, and you should be mechaper for their virus.